I did think about possibly just videoing this and keep on with the trend, and then I could have had a Sunday off. The problem was I wasn't clever enough to figure out how to do that. Then the next thing I thought was, well, maybe I could get somebody to do it so it's live on the screen, so it's like the video. But then I thought, who wants to see me larger than life when I've got enough problems seeing me just in normal life? This morning, the message is entitled The Lesson from the Puzzles. Now, I do need a hand, and as an encouragement for people to give me a hand, I need someone that is sort of 0 to 20 who'd like to win a Moro bar. I see that hand. Here we go. Here we are. You can have that one. Go grab a table. I don't know, down the end there. All right. Someone between 20 and 50 who would like to partake in a Moro bar. You get in your dream sunshine. Come on, anyone? 0 to 20 to 50? There's a few of yous. I might have to. Oh, look, they're looking at each other going, yeah, well, you go. No, well, you go. Oh, come on, Dwayne. Mate, this is your ability because you're training to be a doctor. So if you can't put things together, we got problems. just saying. All right, so we'll put you in the middle because you're in the middle. All right, now, post 50. Here we go. Quite simply, it's a competition. There is no pieces missing. There is exactly the same amount of pieces. And for those of you who may be challenged, you see that in the actual jigsaw puzzle, you can actually find the piece that they've got an outline, so it's even easier to put it together if you get stuck. It's quite simple. It's the quickest to do it is the winner. On your marks, get set, go. Cheer for whoever you like. But only by talking. But from your own seat, because we're having meter distancing. Thank you very much. Okay. It's pretty close between pre-20 and post-50, and the middle ground is, it's really shocking, really. But just saying. I'm just pointing it out. There we go. It's still 20 to 50 is catching up. Getting in the groove. Putting pressure now on post 50, and pre-20s are starting to feel the pressure. Building on. Don't take advice from him. You'd be doomed if you do. Go. Yeah, look, here we go. 20 to 50 is on a roll after a slow start. Post 50, well, I think dementia's setting in. It's just saying. It would tell a story. Oh, look at that. Oh, congratulations. Well done. Look, whatever you do, don't share it with Jacob. That's all I'm saying. Thanks, team. We have our winners. Nice try, everyone. I'll grab your one because hopefully it's all... There we are. Just leave the bits there. They'll be fine. Oh, that way Jacob won't have it, and that's a good call. The importance of this. One of the lessons that I've learnt is that when it comes to reading the Bible, is that we actually need to read the whole Bible. We've got to get the full picture. So often we get so caught up on a focus or a theme that we sometimes lose the wood for the trees. Now, one of the habits that I've got into over the last few years is that there's a number of ways you can do that. For me personally, you can get what they call a one-year Bible. I've also got a living version, which is a bit older and a bit tacky now. But it takes 15 minutes a day to read. You have an Old Testament, New Testament, a psalm, which you do twice through the year, and Proverbs. And there's something important about reading the whole Bible. There's something important about getting a complete picture of what God is about. See, we're told that every scripture is inspired by God. It's useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do every good thing. But what so happens is we think, well, you know, I just like the Old Testament. And that's all I'm going to read. But that's the only part of the picture you get. It doesn't make sense. It may be, oh, I really like the Gospels.
Oh, yeah, put those in there, in the middle, like that. Perfect.
But then again, that's the only part of the picture you get. Or it may be, oh, I like the letters that Paul writes because, you know, he's a very spiritual man and everything he says is perfect. But that's only part of the picture that you get. Maybe a combination. Well, I like the law and I like the epistles, so I'll put that there. Bit more of the picture, but it's the only part of the picture that you get. So in each situation, you only see part. And that can give us a distorted view of who God is and what he is like and his character in terms of our relationship to him, to Jesus, and to each other. So what is the big picture? What is the big picture of this book? What does it look like? Well, I believe that the big picture is Jesus. His life, his death, his resurrection, his mission all point to God's love for us. In 1 John we get, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God and the Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word. Without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. True light that shines in all people was coming into the world. The light was the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world didn't recognize the light. And the light came to his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he is authorized to become children of God, born not from blood or human desire or passion, but born of God. The Word became flesh and has made his home among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory like that of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, the light that is to direct us. Jesus is Emmanuel. We who are broken can now be healed. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me, Jesus said, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed. All of this is possible because of Jesus. When we read and look in the Old Testament to the whole system of sacrifice of animals, of being brought to the temple of God and of being slain, all of that there points to something that was going to happen further on. And that was Jesus. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Where did the concept of the Lamb of God come from to take away sin? It came from the Old Testament, and yet here it is further on in the Gospels. "The life of each creature is in the blood," says the Old Testament, "so that I have given you the blood of animals to pay for your sins on the altar." Life is blood. That is why blood pays for your sins. The concept of blood paying for our sins is born out of the Old Testament, and in Jesus we find the fulfillment of that. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything is made clean with blood. Without the spilling of blood, no one can be forgiven. That's the book of Hebrews. So the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. The epistle to the Hebrews is pointing to Jesus. What about the picture of the high priest that we have in the Old Testament? This one person once a year been able to go into the most sacred and holy place to meet with God on behalf of the people. Well, we find in the epistles. Also, let's hold on to the confession, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, who is Jesus, God's Son. Because we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but instead one who has been tempted in every way, except without sin. Finally, let us draw near to the throne of favor with confidence that we can receive mercy and grace and the help that we need. The picture painted here in this part of the story is revealed what is truly happening here. What about the very beginning of our picture? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, later on in the picture, we get this from Colossians. "Because of all things were created by him, both in the heavens and on the earth, the things that are visible and the things that are invisible, whether they are thrones or powers, rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him." You see, Jesus is the center of the whole story. He is the center of the whole picture. And the reason that Jesus breaks into human history is a simple one: love. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. So what about the law? All these do's and don'ts and this and that, and don't wear this and don't answer that, and all the bits and pieces. How do we understand it? How do we make that work in our lives? Well, this was Jesus' response to the law. "Teacher," somebody asks, "which is the most important commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul, and love him with your mind." That's a reflection of Deuteronomy 6. And this is the first and most important commandment. Everything that is written in the law and the prophets is based on these two commands. And the second command being to love your neighbor. You must love your neighbor as yourself. Love doesn't do anything wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is what fulfills the law. That's in Romans. So God is love. And everything about Jesus is an expression of that love. So So this is the big picture. This is what we need to keep in the back of our mind. Because sometimes it is really easy to grab one piece of the picture and to make it our focus and to make it so very, very important that sometimes we blow it out of proportion. Too often, one bit of the puzzle has been blown out of proportion, that is split churches. Because some have said, this is the most important thing. And other people said, no, 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 part of the puzzle, this is the most important thing. And a church splits. Throughout history, we find that some pieces that we hold as dear may actually oppress, exclude, and hold people in captivity. And the church has had a history of doing this. It starts for a long time on slavery. The Crusades. The Holocaust. Colonialism. Apartheid and racism. The oppression of women. The oppression of the rainbow community. You see, it's easy to find scriptures to support our stance. It's not too hard. But how does that piece that we grab and hold as our stance, how does it actually fit back into the big picture? Does what I believe oppress or bring freedom? Does what I believe hurt or bring healing? Does what I believe show love or hate? Does what I believe allow forgiveness, grace, mercy, and love? A good reminder is found in Luke. Instead, love your enemies. Love those who you think are against you. Love those who don't think like you. Love those who are different from you. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. If you do, then you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way the children of the Most High act, for he is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Don't judge and you won't be judged. Don't condemn and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. We have never been called to play God. We've never been called to be his judges. And if you reflect back on the video last week, that's God's responsibility, not ours. Growing up, we had a saying that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but the Lord has no hands but these hands to do his work. What we are called to, though, is love. So everything we think and do and the stance we have, if we take a piece of the puzzle and we push it and blow it out, we just need to think, how does it actually fit in the greater picture of God? Because sometimes the piece may say one thing, but when you put it in context of what God is, who God is and what he is saying, it's completely different. So it's dangerous just to pull out one theme and think this is what God wants. That's the first lesson of the puzzle. The second lesson of the puzzle is that it talks to us about our walk and our journey with God. See, when we start out in our journey with God, it's like we start out with just one piece. That's what we know of God. And as we walk with him, we add another piece. And it just slightly changes our understanding of God as we grow with him. And as we continue to walk, we add more pieces. And more pieces and more pieces. And so our understanding of God shifts and changes as our relationship with him changes. My understanding of God is completely different to what it was 45 years ago. Because in that relationship and in that learning and that listening and that walking with him, the relationship has grown and developed as different pieces start to come together. Your word is a lamp before my feet and a light for my journey, the psalmist said. Your word, who's the word of God? It's Jesus. The lamp and the light, who is the light who directs us? It's Jesus. And as each new piece has been added on my journey, my understanding and my relationship has changed and will keep changing. But the one thing I do know is that I will never get to the point where I can confidently fully understand what God is up to and what he looks like. In Corinthians, we get this. It's like this, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I became an adult, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I have put away childish things. In the same way, we can see and understand only a little about God now, as if we're peering at his reflection in a poor mirror. Someday we're going to see him in his completeness, face to face. Now all that I know is hazy and blurred. And when I see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees into my heart right now, there are three things that do remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. You see, the moment somebody says and stands up and says, they have got God nailed, run away. Because none of us can ever make that stand. Because we're only looking at a murky, murky image. We will see God clearly when we die. And that's just something to look forward to. So no matter how many pieces we add to our puzzle, we will never fully understand God. This plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as your thoughts. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours, and my thoughts are much higher than yours. So people, God, we don't know everything. But don't fret about it. That's just the way it is. Let's pray. Father, it is a privilege to walk on a journey with you. And although we may not fully understand your ways and why you do things, we can rest in the assurance that Jesus walks with us, guides us, leads us. We can walk in the assurance that above all else, you love us unconditionally. Lord, may we be people of the kingdom of God. May we be people who bring love and not hate. May we be a people who bring freedom and not oppression. May we be a people who bring healing and not destruction. Because that's a reflection of you within us. Yes, we are your hands and your feet. But not to bring vengeance, but to usher in your kingdom. Guide and lead us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.